God is faithful. He is constant. After all is said and done. Our problem is we don't think it's after all. I mean, we think it's after all when it's not after all yet. God is still up to something. God is still moving. God is still doing something. And even right now is not after all. Today's not after all. Today's a pause in the whole sequence. One day when we stand in glory and we look back and we realize what the after all really is and how faithful God has been and how souls and lives have been changed and how we as a church have been changed. After all, we'll see God is faithful. He is constant. He is good. He is good. I want you to stretch your hands this way. I want us to pray over Mike and Jose. And then I'm going to take 10 minutes maybe and just share with you a scripture that I think will speak with us and kind of sum this service together. Lift your hand this way. Father, I thank you and I praise you for Mike and Jose. I thank you for what you have done in their life. The testimony that they have given this morning. I praise you and I thank you for that, God. And I thank you that, Lord, there is more that is yet to come. There's more that you are up to. There's more that you are doing. Lord, we can't even begin to fathom the lives that will be changed and the doors that will be opened. And, Lord, what you are doing is so far beyond us. But, Lord, we trust your hand. We trust your faithfulness, God. We trust what you are going to do, Lord, through their lives and through their testimony. And Lord, that you are going to bring together all of these pieces, all of these ends. You're going to tie them together. And after all, we will see that you are faithful and you are constant and you are good. And God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for the way we've been changed and what you are doing in our lives through this. And we give you honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise, won't you? Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. I just want to take just a moment or two because I have a sense. See, in every journey, in every life, that is here, that is sitting here this morning, in every journey, in every life, there are seasons and there are times which just simply do not make sense. How do you explain having a Hispanic child in your home and that child passing away? How do you make sense of that? Right? And all across this congregation, I can look in faces and I can see, and I've walked with you through times and through seasons, and many of you have said the same thing to me. Pastor, it doesn't make sense. I can't add it up. It doesn't seem to fit the puzzle. There was a guy in the Bible who had a similar experience. In fact, his was far worse than any of ours. His name is Jeremiah. In fact, his nickname was the Weeping Prophet. How'd you like that for a nickname, right? I mean, I want to be the powerful prophet, or the prophet that calls down fire from heaven, right? Or the one that, that speaks and people come from the grave. No, his name was the Weeping Prophet. He is characterized, he's named for he lived in one of the toughest seasons, one of the toughest times in the history of Israel. In fact, he lived in the season when they would lose it all. The ark was gone. It had been gone for a long time. And not only that, they would lose their capital. Jerusalem would be taken by an enemy force. And Jeremiah lived during that time. And Jeremiah looked ahead and he saw ahead of it. Before the fall ever happened, Jeremiah saw it and he was preparing the people for it. And it was just tearing him up. And he writes a book called Lamentations. And in that book, in the middle of that book, chapter 3 of that book, it's fascinating. Chapter 3, Jeremiah just begins to bear his soul. I got news for you. Listen, God's not afraid of you bearing your soul. God's not afraid of you telling him, I don't understand. And this doesn't make sense. And it's not fair. God's not afraid of that at all. Sometimes we think we offend God when we say, God, I don't like it. I can't stand it. It's not fair. It doesn't make sense. I think sometimes we offend God when we say, God, I don't have any faith for this. I don't trust. Sometimes I think we offend God when we get to places like Mike described, where it said, I was at the lowest point of my life, and yet we find this prophet was the same way. Chapter 3, he begins to bare his soul. And first thing he says in verse 20, I've seen affliction. Now think about that as a prophet. His testimony is, I've seen affliction. I've seen tough times. I've seen difficult things. He goes on a little further and he says in verse 7, not only have I seen affliction, I can't escape it. Is anybody here? You ever live there? Not only have you seen tough times, but it just seems to be there. It seems it's there in the daytime, and it's there at night, and it's there when you wake up at 2:30 in the morning, and you've seen affliction, and you just can't escape it. You can't get away from it. Jeremiah goes on further in verse 8, and he says, God does not even hear my prayers. Anybody there? You ever lived there? God does not even hear my prayers. Verse 13, he says, it has broken my heart. It has broken my heart. It's broken me in two. It's crushed me. It's broken me in two. Verse 14, he says, and to make it worse, I'm the laughingstock of my people. Mike, you're not the only one that's been made fun of for doing something that God says do. Verse 17, he says, I have no peace. I have no prosperity. In verse 18, he says, and my strength is gone. Anybody besides me, I know you have. You've lived there. You ever been there? That's a tough place, right? I've seen affliction. I can't get away from it. God doesn't even hear my prayers. It has broken my heart. My peace is gone, right? I'm the laughingstock of my people. I have no peace. I have no strength. It is for that reason that verses 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 of chapter 3 of Lamentation is so powerful and speaks to our hearts this morning. And I want you to hear these words. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Amen? For his compassions never fail. They never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. This is a man who has no hope, whose heart has been crushed, who has no peace, who has no strength, who doesn't even think God hears his prayers. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That word hope means confident expectation. Confident expectation. You know what Jeremiah was saying? Jeremiah was saying, yeah, listen, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of my rope. But I've been at the end of my rope before. I've been at the end of my rope before, and I know when I'm at the end of my rope that God is faithful. Therefore, I wait confidently and expectantly. That's what that word hope means. There is this expectation, this confident expectation Jeremiah had. See, listen to me, church. Knowing God is faithful allows us to have confident expectation even when you're at the end of your rope. That word love there is actually the word mercies. It means loving kindness. It is the combination of love and loyalty together. See, Jeremiah was reassured. Even in the midst of all that he saw, Jeremiah was reassured of God's steadfast, unfailing love. In the midst of your dilemma today, you can be equally assured of God's steadfastness, his love, and his loyalty. Another word that jumps out to me is God's faithfulness. That word literally means firmness. Firmness. You know what it means, Joanne? When I have no place to stand. When life is like quicksand. When it seems like everything around me is falling away. when it seems like there's not another place to put my foot, where there's not enough ground to stand firm on, when it seems like all of the things that normally support me and fall away, there is a firmness in God. There is a place in Him that I can stand. There's a place where I can expectantly, when I put my foot, I expect confidently that I will stand. Why? Because He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. That's His faithfulness. It is His firmness. It is His firmness. See, that's what God's faithfulness means. It is that God will always do what He said He would do. See, God's carry, and that's because God's faithfulness is tied up in His character. God is faithful. It's because of who He is. It is His love and His word spoken into our lives, into our hearts. You see, in other words, God, everything about God, His love, His holiness, His wisdom, His justice, His mercy, all of it is His character. God's word is tied up in who He is. And God can never diminish who He is. What it means is that God is faithful in everything He says and in everything He has done. He is 100% reliable. He is 100% of the time on time. He does not fail. He does not forget. He does not falter. He does not change. He does not disappoint. God says what He means and means what He says and does what He says. He is faithful. You know why I can step out and stand on Him? Because God means what He says. I never doubt because I know God means what He says. When He says that He has promised me something, He means that, church. And God says what He means. There's a lot of scholars today interpreting away a lot of the promises of the Bible and a lot of the truths of the Bible. And I got news for you. They can interpret and reinterpret. I don't even think that's a word, but I think it's not interpreting. They're reinterpreting. It's not a real word, but it describes what they're doing. Listen, when God made promises to you and I, He did not make a mistake. He said what He meant. And He meant what He said. When God says, I will be with you always, even until the end of the earth, that's exactly what He meant. When He said that your sins, when I wash you, they're as far away as the east is from the west, that's exactly what He meant. When He says, you and I in Christ have hope, He meant that. He said that because that's what He meant. God means what He said, what He meant. He means what He says, and God will do what He said He would do. That's His faithfulness. It's tied up in who He is. See, God's word is true because it's a reflection of who God is. Therefore, you can take God at His word. At His word. And that brings us to that last word there. The word wait. The word wait is an interesting word. It's actually the same in the original language. It's actually the same word as the word hope up in the beginning. The word wait at the bottom is actually the same word. It's written hope at the start, interpreted hope at the start because it's an expectation of what is to come. It's written wait at the end, interpreted wait at the end because you can count on what you hope for. See, at the end of the day, God is faithful. This truth gives us great hope. See, here it is in a nutshell. Here it is in one word. Because God is faithful, we can put our hope in Him. And because we put our hope in Him, we can wait on Him to be faithful. Let me say that again. I don't think some of you got it. Because God is faithful, we can put our hope in Him. And because we can put our hope in Him, we can wait on Him to be faithful. Why? Because after all, God is faithful. After it's all said and done, after it's all finished, God is faithful. And He is good. Well, son, what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for us? Let me see if I can tie it up this way. In 1998, there was, many of you may remember this, in 1998, there was a or I'm sorry, 1988, there was a huge, unbelievable, massive, devastating earthquake in Armenia. Many of you may remember that, the late 80s, the Armenian earthquake. It is still today one of the worst, costliest earthquakes that there were. That morning, Samuel and Danielle took their little 7-year-old son, and they, as all parents do, they kissed him and sent him off to school. And his dad remembers it distinctly, kneeling down to him and saying, "Son, I love you, and remember this, I will always be there for you." Within just a few hours, the earthquake struck and devastated, and Samuel and Danielle ran down to the school. And when they got there to the school, Virginia, the school was nothing but a heap. Nothing but a heap. To describe it as rubble, it wasn't even rubble, it was just a heap. Samuel began to dig. Some of the rescuers came over and began to help him. And they dug for hours, realizing, I mean, it wasn't even rubble. It was just sand and debris. It had just crumbled to nothing. And they finally tried to convince Samuel, there's no way that he is alive. And as the hours went on, the first responders, fatigued, they left away, but Samuel's still there and he's still digging. He turns to one fireman and he says, "Won't you help me? Won't you help me?" This fireman turns back and for hours continues to help Samuel dig away, and until finally he simply cannot do it anymore, and Samuel is there by himself digging. And Samuel continues to dig, and after several many hours of it, Samuel hears what he thinks are children's voices. And he digs out, and just how incredibly miraculous what he digs out, and the first child that he comes to is Armand, is his own son. And he says to him, "Come on out, Armand." And Armand says, "No, let the other kids out first." And one by one, not one child, not two child, not three children, but 14 children come out of the rubble. And Armand comes out last. And Samuel finally embraces Armand. He says, "Son, why didn't you come on out and let them come out behind you?" And he said, "Daddy, because you told me you would always be there for me." He says, "So I didn't fear waiting till last because I knew you would always be there for me." And I got to tell you something. Sometimes in life, God is digging and digging and digging and digging, and he's digging somebody else out. But listen, he hasn't forgotten you. He will always be there for you. He'll do what he says. He says what he does. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. This morning I want us to, and yes, the praise team will come real quick. Still a few minutes before 12. Mike and Jose have had their say, and I've had mine, and just think the way to end this service is for us to just spend a moment singing that song we sang a few moments ago, because I still think some of you need to know this morning, after all, he is faithful. After all, he is good. After all, he is constant. You can trust him. You can trust his faithfulness. And you can trust, even if you were under it all, he's still digging for you. It's not over yet. Amen? Amen. I want just to, let's sing this song, okay?
After all, you are constant. Oh, after all, you are only good. After all, you are sovereign. Not for a moment forsake me, not for a moment. Oh, yes. Will you forsake me?
Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the privilege of knowing you are faithful. and you are good after all is said and done, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that hearts will be encouraged and strengthened by the testimony here today and the testimony of your word into our life, that you are good, that great is your faithfulness, and Lord, we can wait expectantly, hoping in you. We thank you. We praise you for that this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I dismiss you, before I do, I just want to take just a moment and tell you how much Geraldine and I, and you can sit down if you want to, I'm not going to take but a moment, just how much Geraldine and I appreciate the opportunity. As all of you know, for the next 4 weeks, we are taking a break. And I got to tell you, I appreciate, as I've spoken with some friends of mine, not every congregation understands and shows the expression of that understanding like you have. We are all, in Galatians 6, we're all told to bear one another's burdens. That's a commandment to all Christians. But there's a particular way in which the pastor and his spouse, the pastor and his wife, bears it for the whole flock. And that's the call. And that's okay. That's okay. That's part of the call. That's what, see, God, the call to preach is, or the call to pastor is not, it's not about preaching a message or preach. This is 10%. This is about 10%. The call is to come along beside and get under and make the load a little lighter. And pastors and their families do that, yes, through preaching. I hope it makes the load a little lighter, but through intercession and through counseling and through conversation and through encouragement. And I thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to step away from that for a little while. You're an incredible congregation. Now, we desire your prayers during this time. Yes, some of this time will be a time of vacationing. We as a family are going to get away for a little while, but a lot of it is going to be time just spent just resting, just renewing and allowing the Lord to speak into our hearts and into our lives. And we thank you and we praise you for that so much. I do want to remind you, during this season, the board is there for you. The leaders of the church are there for you. If you have a need, please call them. We have a system set in place so that someone can get back in touch with you and provide ministry if ministry is needed. So please let the board know if you have a need or even the leader that is in your life, maybe your Sunday school teacher or someone that you are close to, and know that ministry is in place there. And I believe this is going to be an incredible season. God, he's lined up some speakers that are going to come and speak into your lives. I believe that God's going to have a word through them, just like he did today through Mike and through Jose. God is faithful. He is faithful. And we appreciate that so much. So if you will stand, I want to speak the blessings of number 6 over you until we meet together again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Pray that you glow in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.